and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Americans observe Thanksgiving Day in many ways, says CBS's Elise Preston.
The tradition of giving on display near Orlando, Florida, where people recovering from Hurricane Ian were served a turkey dinner with all the fixings. For some, traditions include starting the day off on the right foot. In Danville, Virginia, runners competed in the 5K drumstick dash.
Thanksgiving marks the beginning of the giving season, something scammers are well aware of, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
There are a few best practices for giving. Beware of scam artists posing as a charity. Do not donate over the phone or give out personal information if you're not sure it's a trusted organization. To find out if a charity is legitimate, look them up on the IRS's tax-exempt organization search tool.
President Biden's been thinking about what he can get through Congress before Republicans take over the House in January. More from CBS's Natalie Brand.
I'm going to try to get rid of assault weapons.
The president is once again calling on Congress to pass more stringent gun control measures by the end of the year. But it's unclear what Democrats can get done with their slim majorities in the House and Senate.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. It's just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None.
Republicans take control of the House in January, and President Biden is unlikely to get much, if any, of his legislative priorities passed in a divided Congress.
More than 20,000 employees have left the Apple supplier Foxconn's large plant in China. A company source told Reuters that most of them were new hires who hadn't yet even begun to work on the production line. The company had offered about $1,400 to employees who wanted to leave the plant, which has been the scene of employee protests recently. A writer who accused Donald Trump of racism has filed another lawsuit against him, says CBS's Steve Dorsey.
This is the latest of two lawsuits against Trump from E. Jean Carroll. She's a longtime syndicated advice columnist and says Trump raped her in a dressing room at a luxury Manhattan department store in the mid-1990s. The latest suit is under a new New York law for adults alleging sexual assault. She's also suing him for defamation after he called her claims, quote, totally false, and said he's never met her.
On Fox Sports.
The score in five different World Cups. And here is Ronaldo! And of course, he's done it!
Soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo has become the first male player to score at five World Cups. He made history with a penalty shot win for Portugal over Ghana. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious. May your pies take the prize. May your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs. Happy Thanksgiving from your friends at WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, and WIRI 105.5 FM. May your Thanksgiving be full of peace, love, and joy.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 27 overnight under partly cloudy skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 44. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 32. Low 50s Saturday, turning much cooler Sunday, with highs in the upper 30s and mixed precipitation possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry, who is hopefully enjoying that honeymoon of hers right now.
She texted me on Monday.
You haven't heard from her since?
No, which is good.
That is good. That is good. She tweeted at me on Monday when she saw I was hosting the show, and I said, no Twitter on vacation.
Exactly.
Get out of here. Go get drunk.
Go do honeymoony things.
That's right. So we just had a great segment with Greg May of 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin talking about I-94 expansion. We have guest after guest with us today. We have a great lineup, and we're going to be joined for the next half hour by Anthony Trigoski of the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. We're going to be talking about Western Wisconsin and the midterms. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dan.
So, we had a pretty important congressional election in your part of the state. What happened?
Well, Dan, the longtime Congressman Ron Kind had opted to retire. He had the closest election of his career in 2020 against Republican challenger Derek Van Orden. And this time around, Ron Kind opted not to run for re-election. It pitted the Democrat Brad Paff, who is a state senator in the La Crosse area, against Derek Van Orden, who is making another run for this particular congressional seat. And many Democrats had written off this district. In fact, Brad Paff had been kind of left out to dry, you could say, by the Democratic Party. The House Majority PAC, the main super PAC on the Democratic Party's side, had $1.7 million of ad reservations for this district. They canceled that. The DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the main campaign arm of the Democratic Party at the national level, did not get involved at all. There was no spending in the third district here in Western Wisconsin by the DCCC. So the party, the affiliated political action committees were completely missing in action on the Democratic Party's side. It made political observers like me think, well, I mean, in their internal polling must just be brutal for the Democrats if they are sitting this one out, if they have thrown in the towel so clearly. Fast forward to election day, and it is a 4-point margin of victory for Derek Van Orden, leading to a lot of those what ifs, Dan. What if the Democrats had been able to match the Republican spending? I mean, the Republicans, Van Orden and his party and the affiliated PACs, had just an enormous spending advantage in this congressional race. It was about a 4-to-1 spending advantage in favor of the Republicans. So all told, a massive spending advantage on the Republican Party side in this district to replace Ron Kind, a massive spending advantage, but not a massive margin of victory.
Yeah, it seemed like this was a real missed opportunity for the Democrats in this one. And Ron Kind has held this seat for, what, 2 decades before he announced his retirement? And to let this seat go just seems like such a misfire. And especially the case considering the candidate that the Republicans were running in this race, Derek Van Orden, seemed like the type of MAGA Republican who underperformed across the country in these midterm elections. You know, we saw so many of these, you know, very Trump style Republicans not do well. We saw more of the moderate type of Republicans. I'm thinking of like Mike DeWine in Ohio, who won by like 25% as more of a moderate. The Van Orden style, I mean, he was at the on the Capitol grounds on January 6th, and it seems like the type of Republican who could have been vulnerable in this election cycle. But I mean, how did they miss this? I don't understand.
Dan, I think what, as a political scientist, I often wonder is how much do candidates matter? That's been a really interesting question in political science over the past few election cycles. With intense partisanship and the enormous political divide in this country, the notion had been more and more that candidates don't really matter, that voters just vote the party line. And you can put a potted plant with an R next to its name on the ballot and a potted plant with a D next to its name, and you'll get basically the same results as you would with anyone on the ballot. So the political science of this is that candidates seem to not matter all that much in recent elections. I think what had been unanticipated on the Democratic side was that there would be those individual candidate effects, that voters would look carefully at the candidates to a greater extent than perhaps in the past. They would look at the pros and cons of each candidate. As you said, Dan, there were some interesting features of Derek Van Orden's background that really did feed into the narrative that Brad Pfaff wanted to go about portraying in this particular election. Brad Pfaff really hinged his campaign on the issues of abortion and on January 6th. And it fed into a narrative that Derek Van Orden is extreme, that he's not your typical Republican, that he's not a more maybe mainstream Republican like a Mike DeWine, for example, as you mentioned in Ohio. All told, that did seem to have an effect on the voters. So I think there might have been a data gaffe, you know, where this just wasn't showing up in the internal numbers that the Democratic Party had. They may have not anticipated that voters would vote the candidates and not just vote the party. Whatever the case, this was a big miss by the Democrats. I mean, you look at the margin, Dan, for the Republicans in the House of Representatives. A few additional seats for the Democratic Party could have given them the majority. This is one that they are going to be shaking their head at and think those what-if questions. It is a real what-if type election. What if the Democrats had taken this race more seriously? What if they had put more resources in this election? We'll never know, but it was just a whiff by the Democrats.
Anthony, at least from my perspective, it didn't seem like Van Orden spent any time talking to people or his potential constituents. He spent a lot of time talking to big donors.
Yeah, Jay. So when it comes to Derek Van Orden, he is an interesting candidate. He's one of the more interesting candidates that I think emerged during this particular election cycle. Steve Gunderson really spoke to this quite well in an interview with WKOW in Madison. Steve Gunderson is a moderate Republican who held this seat prior to Ron Kind. So Gunderson kind of left office in the 1990s, pretty middle of the road Republican. And that's been kind of the tradition in Western Wisconsin, that we value these middle of the road type candidates, and that people in Western Wisconsin do tend to vote the candidate more than the party, that we do have that kind of independent spirit and enjoy moderation in our candidates. And so Gunderson said that Van Orden's style is very different than the style that he had as a Republican representative for this region. For example, Steve Gunderson said, I really wanted the newspapers to endorse me. I really wanted to do local media. I really wanted to debate because he said that he just needed to get his message out there. He needed to battle for every single vote because he knows that the people in this district are kind of independent-minded and that, hey, if you interact with the voters, if you meet the voters where they are, if you go to the pancake breakfast, if you do debates, if you talk to the local journalists, you might be able to flip some votes. And so Gunderson made a very intriguing observation about how Van Orden's style was quite different than his own style though both are Republicans, we can say that they're quite different types of Republicans.
We're joined here by Anthony Chergosky, who is the political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. We are talking about the race in the 3rd Congressional District, which was won by Derek Van Orden. You know, Western Wisconsin in general is such an interesting swing part of the state. You know, it was kind of emerged as a big national talking point as, you know, part of those Obama-Trump voters that we heard about in 2016. People who are, you know, Obama did exceptionally well in that part of the state and kind of the driftless region of the Midwest in general, with him off the ballot, things have changed quite a bit. You know, what do you make of some of the big picture forces that are driving that change in Western Wisconsin?
Certainly, Dan, we have that rural-urban divide just like every other part of Wisconsin. And I think it's a big part of the politics here. Certainly, we don't have the big cities of Milwaukee and Madison. But when you look at La Crosse, when you look at Eau Claire, heck, when you even look at Stevens Point, you do see some promising signs for the Democrats. I mean, those parts of the district really did deliver for Brad Path. They gave him the margins that he needed to potentially win the election. Now, the rural element of this region does follow the patterns of rural elements elsewhere in Wisconsin and, frankly, elsewhere in the country, where it is going more Republican. Dan, what's interesting about this is how the different candidates in the Republican Party are talking about education. You know, part of our district that makes it interesting is that we have a huge UW presence in our district. A ton of UW campuses in this part of the state, plus some other key college campuses. At the same time, it's a big agricultural district. And as Van Orden liked to point out during the campaign, a lot of our residents out here have not graduated from college. They don't have a four-year degree. So what you're seeing is educational polarization as well, just as you're seeing that urban-rural divide. So I think we are a bit of a microcosm of the changes that are happening elsewhere. Derek Van Orden really captures the cultural politics of the moment that have bought a lot of rural areas into the Republican fold. At the same time, we've seen folks like Robin Voss, the Republican Assembly Speaker in Wisconsin, fretting about the suburbs and talking about how the suburbs are a big problem spot for his area, for his party. So the geography of this state, the geography of this district are just really interesting. Urban areas continue to move more into the Democratic Party fold. Robin Voss is all worried about the suburbs. Meanwhile, Derek Van Orden is really benefiting from the cultural politics of the Trump era and how those bring more rural areas into the Republican fold.
We're talking to Anthony Chergosky of UW-La Crosse. He's going to be joining us for the next segment as well. We're talking about politics in Western Wisconsin. We have a presence here on civic media and in this part of the state. You know, I think it's important for us to really dive into what some of these issues are that are facing this district and this part of the state. And we're going to continue to talk about that into the next segment. I want to talk a little bit about the state legislative races that were happening out there. You may have known that I have some interest in what's going on in the state legislature. And I think in the state legislature, we saw some of the most competitive races anywhere in the state happen right around where you are in the La Crosse area. So we're going to get into that after the break. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. So light 'em up.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. 262-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 29 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs around 45. Lows level off around 33. Tomorrow night, clear skies. Partly cloudy skies Saturday with daytime highs approaching 54. 39, chance for scattered rain showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry. We are joined for this half hour of the show by Anthony Chergosky, political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. We've been talking a little bit about what's been happening, or some of the election results in western Wisconsin, and we talked a little bit about what was the results in the 3rd Congressional District with Derek Van Orden winning that seat, and Democrats really not investing in it. They've been criticized so often over the years for not investing in rural areas, and I think this is just such a missed opportunity for Democrats in this region. I think it's going to be just that much harder to win that seat back. It's going to continue to be a competitive seat in the state of Wisconsin. There's, you know, with perhaps the most competitive congressional seat going forward, but it's just going to be that much more difficult for Democrats to win this one back after Derek Van Orden won a closer than expected race. And so we've been talking a little bit about that. And I want to talk more, too, as well about some of the state legislative races, because, you know, I covered to a great extent the opportunity that Republicans had to gain a supermajority in the state legislature. The road to that was in many ways through La Crosse County. And what some other districts in western Wisconsin. So Democratic State Senator Jeff Smith won re-election to keep his seat in the state Senate. And incumbent Democrat Steve Doyle in La Crosse County also won re-election. It was a very close race for both of those. So what do those results say to you, Anthony, about the changing political winds in that part of the state?
I think you nailed it, Dan. It shows that this is a very competitive part of the state, and that if Democrats invest in this part of the state, then they're going to do well. I mean, Steve Doyle just had an ungodly amount of money that he spent on his reelection campaign. I live in his district, so believe me, I saw it with the mailers that I got and the yard signs and the outreach and even the TV ads. I mean, it's kind of crazy, like being bombarded with TV ads for one state assembly seat out of 99 in the state. But that's what happens when you have very few competitive districts and the potential for a veto-proof majority hinges on a handful of districts. So it's a classic example of a seat that the Democrats really feel good about, this Steve Doyle seat here in La Crosse County, because it is more of a suburban district. It's not the city of La Crosse. It's more the suburbs surrounding the city of La Crosse. And a big question, Dan, was if those types of areas would continue to move into the Democratic Party fold, given the gains that Democrats had made in the suburbs during the Trump years. And we know from the Wow counties, for example, in the Milwaukee area, that the Democrats certainly made substantial progress in some of these suburbs. Here in La Crosse County, there were signs that Republicans are that Democrats are at least holding on to some of the gains that they have made. So I think the signs were good for Democrats here in Western Wisconsin, at least at the level of the state legislature. You noted that Jeff Smith beat Dave Estenson for the state Senate seat in more of the Eau Claire area, and then Doyle winning this key state assembly seat in the La Crosse region. So I think both of those are big successes for the Democrats, even as they completely flopped in the third congressional district and just completely dropped the ball, missed the signs that that was a competitive race. Clearly, the Democrats understood their path to victory in the Jeff Smith race and in the Steve Doyle race, some really key races in the state legislature.
Yeah, and another one that's kind of within that third district in Stevens Point, where Katrina Shanklin, she was another, you know, kind of target from Republicans trying to flip that seat in that part of the state. And she actually wound up winning by a much bigger margin in 2022 than she did in 2020. So she, you know, really a successful story for her there, winning by a 15-point margin when people thought there was an opportunity for Republicans to flip a seat there. You know, Western Wisconsin, for whatever reason, I have spent less time there than any other part of the state. So I think it's important they're having you on so you can help educate me about what's going on. Yeah, I'm a Waukesha County native. I live in the city of Milwaukee. I went to college at UW-Oshkosh. For whatever reason, have not spent a whole lot of time in Western Wisconsin. So, you know, big picture, going forward, where do you expect this region politically to go?
I think it'll still have that independent spirit, Dan. I mean, one of the points of pride, in fact, for Western Wisconsin has been that even in this era of highly divisive politics, even in this era of historic levels of polarization, Western Wisconsin maintained its independent spirit. And we see that in these state legislative races. We see that in the congressional race. It was a big question that I had in mind as we were entering the 2022 cycle and going through the cycle. I was wondering if Western Wisconsin would maintain that independent spirit, if candidates would matter in this region, or if we would just be like everywhere else and just vote the party line, right? I think for a long time, Western Wisconsin has valued moderate candidates to a greater extent than some other parts of the country. It has valued independent thinking in vote choice to a greater extent than some other parts of the country. And the people here take great pride in that. And so I think that type of spirit is maybe under a bit of threat, given these broader forces in American society that are driving people to be more partisan, that are driving polarization. Yet I do think the independent spirit of Western Wisconsin is still beating. It's taken some hits, but I think the heart of the independent spirit is still beating here in the region.
Yeah, that's such an interesting part of that. And you know, I'm having gone to college at UW-Oshkosh, I think there are some parallels there. You know, you have an independent spirit in some of those Fox Valley counties as well. I imagine we're going to be back here in 2024 talking about what are the most competitive state legislative races in Wisconsin? What are the most competitive congressional seats? Where are those swing counties? We're probably going to be talking about places like La Crosse County, places like those districts that we have been talking about as well. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us here on the program today.
Thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate it.
All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer, and we are through 2.5 hours of the show now. It went fast again, Jane. What happened?
It goes quick. It goes quick.
All right. We'll be right back.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR.
Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
Six more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Aho, Wisconsin. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, a new Native American theme show live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7. Each day, activists and newsmakers will provide updates on protecting Mother Earth. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Join us for our Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake weeknights at 6 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes and even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Sending good wishes to you and your family this holiday season. Good food that fills your table, good health as you work hard, and good times with family and friends. May you have all the best delights in life and feel the gratitude of the season. The WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, and WIRI 105.5 team would like to wish a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. From Pam, Chuck, Steph, Ashley, Randy, Tim, Don, James, Seth, and Melissa, happy Thanksgiving.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 27, overnight, under partly cloudy skies, west winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 44, tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Mainly clear, tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 32. Low 50s, Saturday, turning much cooler, Sunday, with highs in the upper 30s, and mixed precipitation possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Quite that much, but it is, they are projecting something like 4 feet of snow, which is, even though I have lived in the state of Wisconsin for basically my entire life. I can't even comprehend 4 feet of snow falling in a 24-hour time period.
In 24 hours, so this isn't even over a day or two. This is just one day.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be starting tonight and going on into the weekend. I think the Buffalo Bills have a home game this weekend, so it's going to be interesting to see where they put all that snow.
Do the fans come out and shovel like they do at Lambeau?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure what they do. I'm sure they have as much as more snow than they get at Lambeau there.
Absolutely.
On the east side of Lake Erie there. So they get just crazy amounts of snow. I can't even comprehend it though. I was thinking back to, so I tweeted about this morning. I just can't even comprehend all this snow. And somebody brought up the snowstorm that we had in southeastern Wisconsin in 2011.
Was that the Groundhog Day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was the Groundhog Day. I love how everybody in Wisconsin has a way to remember these storms.
Well, otherwise they kind of squish together and it's hard to remember which one was which.
That's right. So when that storm happened, I was living, my wife and I were living in an apartment just off of Brady Street in Milwaukee.
And you couldn't unpark your car for a month.
No, it was buried. So I think everybody, I think my wife was still in college at the time and I, my work was canceled for the day for me. And so we stayed home and the neighborhood, I love, it's a Wisconsin thing. You get together with your neighbors, you all shovel out together. So that was fun. But there was one place on Brady Street that was still open that we could walk to. Do you want to guess?
One place on Brady Street. Was it Nomad?
No, it was not Nomad. You're in the ballpark, though.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
It was the Roman Coin.
Oh.
Of course. The Perfect. The Roman Coin stayed open amid 2 feet of snow.
It's Wisconsin.
And so, you know what we did? We spent the day at the Roman Coin.
I worked that day.
At 6:20?
No, I was working in Menominee Falls then.
Okay.
And we knew it was going to get really bad. And when you work mornings, your job is to get into work to tell everyone else to stay home.
Right.
So we knew we had to be in there. So the station actually put us up at a hotel that was less than a mile away. And so my partner and I spend the night in the hotel, get up at 3:00. And I had a shovel in my car. We had to shovel the car out so we could just get out of that parking lot. It took us 45 minutes to go less than a half a mile. And then as I'm pulling into the station driveway, there's a small incline. And that's where my car got stuck. So
of course.
Then we had to walk through all of that snow to get into the back door of the station. And ultimately, my biggest concern was that the plow was going to come in and they were going to squash my car, which fortunately did not happen. But our morning show was one of only two, I believe, that actually made it into work that day. It was that bad.
And this is pre-Zoom, of course.
Oh, of course.
So no one was able to just like log on and where they are.
No, I don't know what everybody else did because there were several morning shows that just could not make it in. And if we had been any further away than less than a mile, we probably never would have made it in either. Incredible. And then by the end of that day, it was because again, it was February, so it started melting.
Yeah.
By the time I got home, it was, the sun was out and things were melting.
Yeah, by the time I got out of Roman Coin.
not melting completely, but at least it was a start.
Well, at least you could tell your listeners there some very factual information that you do not want to be on the roads right now. You have the evidence of a car that you couldn't move to prove it.
And I'm always amazed, Dan, by the people who think that they are so special that the forces of gravity and all of these other things are not going to affect them.
Right.
I've spent 40 years warning people, trying to tell people, don't do this. It's not good. You don't want to do this. And yet I've known people who intentionally go out when there are storm warnings because there's no other traffic on the road.
Yeah. That's nuts.
That's bad logic.
Yes. It is.
It's bad logic.
But what I do like about the people who are on the roads during that time is that there's also people out there helping out.
That's true.
So, like, there was one time there was a bad snowstorm when I was younger. I was living at my parents' house, and I slid into a ditch on Springdale Road. And I didn't have to call the tow truck because there was somebody rolling around the neighborhood helping people out of ditches. And they had a truck with a little hookup there, and they were able to pull me out of the ditch, and I didn't even have to bug my parents about it.
Oh, well, that is wonderful, right? Mr. Rogers always said, look for the helpers.
That's right. That's right. They're always out there. And they are out there.
That's terrific. But the people of Buffalo are going to need
lots of helpers.
Several hundred helpers, I think.
Yeah.
And, although I don't know anyone from Buffalo, I imagine those are pretty hardy folks.
I would imagine too. I mean, it's another Great Lakes city. They're used to this kind of stuff. You know, I feel like there's some camaraderie among the Great Lakes cities, the Milwaukees and the Clevelands and the Buffaloes of the world, who have to endure these ridiculous winters.
Lake effect snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's undefeated. Lake effect snow is undefeated.
No question.
So it's going to be interesting. All the best to the folks up in the Buffalo area, you know, I just wanted to also, let's see, I'm trying to check where we are for time here. We have a little bit to...
We got time.
We got time to talk about some other news topics. Some more big news today in Washington, D.C. Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced today that she would be leaving leadership in January. She will no longer be the House Speaker because the Republicans have won the House as expected in the midterms. But she is in that. She gave a speech on the floor of the House today, announcing that she would be leaving leadership. She's 82. She's served for a long time. She has been a crucial member of Congress in getting the votes needed to pass things like the Affordable Care Act and so many other important pieces of legislation in the Obama years and now in the Biden years. And now it's time for her to, you know, pass the torch.
It is delightfully refreshing to see someone in a political party acknowledge that their time has come and gone. Hello, Chuck Grassley. And I have major respect for Speaker Pelosi and House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer also announcing that he's not going to seek leadership. He's 83. She's 82. Not that they're not still quick and smart, but there has to be acknowledgement that we have to start training some younger leaders, right?
Yeah, that's right. And also seeing that Representative Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, who is also 82, he's expected to step down as well. So a real generational shift happening in the Democratic Party right now. The expectation is that Representative Hakeem Jeffries of New York, who is 52, will be taking the post as the leadership position for the Democrats in the next Congress. Representatives Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, who is 59, and Pete Aguilar of California, who is 43, are expected to seek those top three spots. So it's a time of change in the Democratic Party.
I think it's kind of hilarious to look at someone who's 59 and say, what a youngster.
That's right.
But comparatively, they are.
That's true.
If you're 50s, in your 50s, even in your 60s, among some of the members of Congress who have been there for decades and decades and decades.
That's right. And when I wrote my opinion piece for the New York Times this summer, I wrote about Mandela Barnes, and I wrote about how he, you know, as a 35-year-old, signified a shift in the Democratic Party because it kind of needs it, you know, and it's there's a certain inevitability to it as well. But I think this is an important moment for passing the torch and something that needs to happen, because I think the leadership in the Congress is as old as it has been. You know, in the Senate in particular, the makeup of the Senate is as old as it has ever been.
It's insane.
There are more people over the age of 80. There are about as many people over the age of 80 as there are under the age of 50 in the Senate. So it's really, you know, a staggering thing. You know, obviously President Biden's very old. We have some other, Dianne Feinstein in California. I don't expect her to be seeking re-election in the next term. So I think, you know, it's time for the Democratic Party to, you know, experience these shifts. And I think it's an important moment for the party, for Congress in general, and for Pelosi, who's going to leave behind, it just quite the legacy as House Speaker in two different stints.
Some remarkable accomplishments. There are some remarkable photo images of her that I will never, ever forget. And some quotes as well, talking to then President Trump and saying, with you, every road leads to Russia. And that was one of those. There was a face off with her as well in a meeting that she's standing and he's sitting, and those are just some indelible images. But it is so nice to see Grandma Pelosi give up the keys without having to take them away from her.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. The time has come. She understands it. Maybe could have even happened a couple of years earlier. Who knows?
I don't know, though. Because, again, she managed to hold on pretty well during the years under Donald Trump. And I don't know who else would have been so graciously steely.
Yeah. And she gets the votes. Like, that the hallmark of Pelosi and her time as the Speaker of the House is, you know, it's a big tent party. There's a lot of different voices within the Democratic Party, whether it's the progressive, the moderates, or whatever. And she has so often brought the party together to vote united on some very important pieces of legislation. And I think, you know, people are going to be talking a lot about her legacy over the next, you know, going forward. And I think there's a lot to talk about because a lot of achievements.
I've often imagined myself in a meeting with her, if I was part of the caucus and wanted to go against her, and she would be the parent who just has to say, I'm so disappointed in you. Because she's not yelly and she's not, you know, but she is a strong person.
Yeah, if she told me she was disappointed in me, I'd feel pretty bad.
Wouldn't you feel
that.
Terrible?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's like the worst. Oh, I'm going to go lock myself in my room now and cry.
I'm going to reevaluate my life.
Yes, what have I chosen?
She had some steely words for me then. But yeah, I think it's such an interesting day for Congress for right now. And you know, and she was able to, you know, preside over a midterm election that did not see the type of wave election that you typically see in a midterm.
Yes.
You know, the House flipped, but the House said it's pretty small margin already. And so, you know, she will no longer be the Speaker of the House. Who knows who the Republican Speaker of the House is going to be? I assume Kevin McCarthy will become the Speaker of the House, but who knows? But who knows? Well, they're an unpredictable party these days. So.
Well, I think the one thing we can count on is they're going to spend millions and millions of taxpayer dollars on useless investigations instead of actually doing legislation that would help their constituents.
Yeah. Let's talk about that when we get back from the break here. We're coming up against the break. I am Dan Schaefer. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we will be right back.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Place my soul, let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 29 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 45. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows around 33. Mid-50s Saturday. Much cooler Sunday with highs in the upper 30s and scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We're in our final segment here of the day. I am Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about Nancy Pelosi, who is resigning her position as in Democratic leadership. And we were talking a little bit, now that the Republicans are going to have the House, have control of the House, it's going to be kind of unpredictable what the Republican House majority is going to be doing. And perhaps signaling where they're going to be headed. They tweeted this morning from the House GOP account, "The Biden crime family must be investigated as a matter of national security."
We heard all campaign
about all of the different things that they wanted to. Inflation's a problem. Crime's a problem. We have to get into this. The border's the problem. The minute that they get control, and it was confirmed yesterday that they would win control of the House after some of the final results were rolling in, they're going to talk about Hunter Biden.
With taxpayer dollars,
by the way. With taxpayer dollars.
Now, I just want to clarify, because my husband and I were just talking about it this week. If Hunter Biden has committed crimes, good. Sure. Catch him and sentence him. I have absolutely no problem with that. I really don't. If you committed a crime, you should do the time. My issue is, and as you just said, Dan, they've been screaming about all these issues that our country is facing. And once they take power, they're not looking at resolving those. They are doing this only to tarnish President Joe Biden.
Right.
They don't really care about Hunter Biden. They don't really care about tax cheats. They're gonna not increase the number of IRS agents. And what those IRS agents would do is go after really, really wealthy people who cheat on their taxes, not you and me and Joe who lives on the corner.
Exactly. I mean, there's plenty of data out there showing that, like, the enforcement of these types of things is very much skewed away from the wealthy. But I just think it's so ridiculous that this is the priority that they're coming with the morning after they officially win the House. This is the priority. Like, okay, you have issues with Democratic spending. Fine. Talk about spending. Tighten up spending. Sure. You have issues with crime. You want to fund more police. We just heard an endless amount of attack ads talking about how Democrats want to fund the police. Okay. Go fund the police. Is this a matter? Is this the top priority? I mean, I understand if you want accountability is important. Oversight is important. These types of things are important. But is the top priority that you are coming into Congress with, the day after you officially have the majority, it just seems so ridiculous that this is the top issue, especially given, you know, everything that just happened with the midterm election campaigns.
Well, doesn't it just prove that their top priority is to do whatever they can to damage President Biden?
Right.
Because that's what this is about.
Right.
I don't think they sure didn't care about any improprieties that were happening under the other administration.
Right.
Even members of the Trump family who made some questionable deals and got some questionable trademarks and all kinds of other things. They were just fine with that. The emoluments clause. And then, yeah, that's fine.
Never divesting from the company and having the hotel right down the street.
Yeah,
and just all sorts of just like obvious blatant corruption. And they're just going after this Hunter Biden laptop thing.
Again, in order to splash as much mud as they can before the 2020 election.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's going to be an interesting couple of years of divided government in D.C. because obviously we have a Democratic president. Democrats are still going to control the Senate, but we're going to have a Republican House. And I don't know quite what that is going to mean just yet.
Do you think Kevin McCarthy is actually going to be able to control these people?
No. No.
I think unless he slips them all something on a daily basis, they're going to be running around like feral cats.
Well, I think I saw the other day that like Marjorie Taylor Greene voiced some support for Kevin McCarthy.
Because she thinks he's going to do her favor.
She thinks she's going to get back into the mix. She's probably the one who wants to investigate Hunter Biden, you know, and all of this.
And the way the poor January 6th defendants have been treated. I know most of America's just been clamoring over the poor conditions that the seditionists have been enduring. It keeps me awake at night.
Yeah. Well, it's the changes here. There will be a little bit of a different tone to the January 6th investigation.
Well, won't they just disband?
They've talked about maybe doing like their own version of it, the real version, you know. Which I'm sure will be, you know, we'll really learn a lot from.
Oh well, all those Antifas who they will have come in to
That's
testify.
Right.
It'll be fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're coming up to the end of the show here. We did another 3 hours of live radio. We're almost to the, you know, for whatever reason, today feels like a weekend today.
Does it really?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you get these Thursdays that feels like the weekend. It's probably because I'm headed out of town. I'm headed out of town tonight. I'm going to Madison for a couple days for a conference at UW-Madison that I was invited to be on a panel for. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's very cool.
It's called Renewing Civic Life in Wisconsin. So myself and a few other journalists will be a part of that. And Tommy Thompson's giving a keynote. So he gives a good speech. So it's going to be good to hear from him.
He gives good speech.
Yeah.
Remind everyone about your recombobulation area and what it is that you do there, please.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me to plug my own work on this live radio show that I am on. But I write and publish a weekly opinion column called the Recombobulation Area. Also write a bunch of features and other stuff. It's a growing publication, and we are fueled by readers. We are a reader-supported publication. So almost all of our funding at the Recombobulation Area comes from subscribers. We've had a lot of new subscribers over the last couple months. People seem to be digging our midterm election coverage. The piece that I wrote last week on my 15 takeaways from the midterm election in Wisconsin has rapidly become one of our most read pieces in the history of the site. So I'm pretty excited about that. We got lots of new subscribers. We're going to be doing more stuff on into next year. So if you like independent media, if you think there should be more coverage in Wisconsin, you know, more coverage on the left in Wisconsin, then come to the Recombobulation Area, subscribe, help fund our work. And, you know, we, like I said, we're growing. We're going to be continuing to do more. I wrote a lot about elections this year. I'm looking forward to writing about other things. You know, between the Milwaukee mayor's race that I interviewed almost all of the candidates for that race, between the primaries and between the general election, I wrote a whole lot about elections this year. I'm looking forward to writing about some other stuff on into 2023.
Well, and I just want to say, Dan, that you write in such a way that it's really very digestible because you take very complicated things and break it down in a way that a person like me can understand. And I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. I it's definitely a goal of mine to do that. So I'm glad it's at least connecting over here in the WAUK studios here in Waukesha. Again, thank you everyone for tuning in today. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer. Kristen Bry is still away. We're not gonna check on her, see where she is. She'll let us know where she is. But this is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help,
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lakeway.